I would like to talk to you today about faith. What is faith? How does one get it? And what is the result of having faith? I wonder if the listener understands what faith really is. I trust today to show from the Word of God that faith is simply believing God. When asked the question, "Can you tell me the way to heaven?" many people usually respond in this manner, "Well, you must have faith." But when pressed as to what they mean by faith, very seldom do we find that the answerer has a proper understanding of what faith really is. Some have a very vague notion. Some have mysterious thoughts about it. Some connect it with religious feeling. All these things show that such ideas indicate that the one who believes thus is associating faith with something in himself. An illustration that I heard one time as to what faith really is always appealed to me. I'll always remember it. A girl was asked in the Sunday school class what she believed faith was. And she very readily and quickly replied, "Why, it's simply taking God at His word and asking no questions." I like that definition. And I believe that that is exactly what faith is according to the Word of God. Faith simply believes God, and it believes what He says. It doesn't have any its or buts or whys or hows attached to it. It asks no questions. Faith is simply believing what God says, taking Him at His word. We have an illustration of this in the 4th chapter of John's Gospel. We consider today the second miracle which Jesus did when He came out of Judea and back into Cana of Galilee. We read of this second miracle in this book of John, which portrays the Savior as the Son of God from heaven, the one who, by the miracles that He performed, declared clearly who He was. In this miracle, we read of a certain nobleman, one who had a position with the king as a ruler, a courtier. The nobleman had a son who was sick at home in Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come back from Judea into Galilee, he went to Him. And he besought Him that He would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. You will notice that the need of this man brought him to Jesus. And I trust with all my heart that there are listeners today who have a need. That need alone can be met by the Lord Jesus. And we trust that, like this nobleman, you are going to turn to Him. There is no man that can solve your problems, that can meet your need. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who alone can do that. The nobleman recognizes this in Jesus, and he comes to Him. The condition of his son was very serious. He was at the point of death. We learn that it was some type of fever that he had. And the nobleman comes beseeching Jesus that He would go to him and heal him of his fever. You'll notice, the nobleman says unto Him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." How did the nobleman know that Jesus had the power and the ability and the willingness to do this? Ah, he had observed, he had heard. And it amounts to this, that the nobleman had faith in the Lord Jesus. And, beloved, we would point you to Him today as the one who is worthy of your faith, worthy of your trust, worthy to be believed. Who is this blessed one called Jesus? There's no more important question for you to find out about. the Scriptures declare who he was. And if you are to have faith, you must have that faith come to you through the Word of God. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no question that this nobleman had heard of Jesus, had heard of his works of power, and possibly he had even seen some of them performed. He was convinced in his soul who he was. And when he goes to him, he goes with a simple request, believing that Jesus would grant him what he desired. We would assure you from the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came into the world to meet your need. He came to give his life that you might live. And he, through his precious word, would reveal this unto you. You want to have faith in him? Ah, turn to his word. You can believe him. Certainly, if we believe men, the witness of God is greater. God cannot lie. He is the one that speaks in all truth, in all assurance, and he speaks that you might believe. The Lord Jesus, when here, said that in his words were spirit and life. The Holy Spirit of God takes the words of Jesus, that which you have in your hand, that Bible that you hold there, that written word is that which has come forth from God himself. God inspired, God breathed. Every scripture from Genesis to Revelation is inspired by God. It's true that men pen the words, but they pen the words as they were directed by the Spirit of God. And God intends that these words should be believed. And when they are believed, the power of them produce a faith that links with Christ, that drives the soul to him, that causes the hand to be placed in his hand, the head to be reclining upon his breast, to trust him. Faith is really trusting him. Now I believe that we'll notice this in what the nobleman does. After Jesus says to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth," we read, "The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." I want to draw your attention, first of all, to the object of faith. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. We have considered how the man realized Jesus was the one whom he said he was, the one who had power and ability, the one who was all truth and assurance. Now we will notice what he says. He says, "Thy son liveth." This nobleman believed that the one who was all truth spoke words of truth, words worthy to be believed. And dear listener, certainly you can believe God. And we commend to you this whole book, that which has come from God to meet you in your need. We read in the 20th chapter of this gospel why the book of God was written. It tells us in verse 30 and 31, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing ye might have life through his name." We read very simply, that man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he didn't ask any questions. He didn't have any ifs and buts. He simply went on his way believing. That is an illustration of what faith is. It's taking God at his word and asking no questions. I wonder if the listener has done that. Do you have some desire for blessing? Do you realize your need, such as this man realized the need in his home, in his heart, for that which was near to his heart was touched? His son was lying sick of a fever. You know, fever is a picture of sin in the restlessness that it causes. That which causes souls to go from this to that, knowing not rest, having one thirst after another, finding that nothing in this world can satisfy, nothing can meet the innermost cravings of the soul. This man knows to whom to turn. And the Scriptures, through this incident, yea, the whole tenor of the Word of God, would point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who says to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It is in the heart of Christ to give you rest, to give you rest of conscience in knowing that your sins are those for which he died at Calvary. He died to put them away. How do I know that? The Bible tells us very clearly that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that Christ died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, and the death that he paid was satisfactory to a holy God. He took your place, dear hearer. He died for your sins, those sins that are troubling you, those sins which are yours, he died for. God simply asks that you believe that. He simply asks that you believe that he was your substitute. He asks that you believe that he died for you. Do you believe it? Jesus would speak peace to your soul in telling us that if you believe on him, you will be saved. This is God's way. This is God's word. This is the blessed assurance that God wants you to have. This is what will give you to find your harbor in Jesus. There is no other harbor that's safe. There's no other harbor that's secure. There's no other harbor that's satisfying. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for you, who lives again. And it is in him that God wants you to place your faith. It's believing Jesus, believing him who is God. And then receiving his word that tells you, if you believe on him, you shall be blessed. This man, the nobleman, believed what Jesus said, and he went on his way. He asked no questions. And you notice that his faith was confirmed as he went on homeward. His servants had come from the house with the good news. They had been there when what Jesus said was performed. The Lord Jesus, even at a distance, could speak and bring blessing. How like today? The Lord Jesus personally is not on earth. No, he's in the glory. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But he makes himself known and heard today through his precious word and through the power of the Holy Spirit that is in the world. These servants witnessed the miracle which the word of Jesus performed at a distance. "Thy son liveth," Jesus said. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, "Believe and live. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And when the nobleman asked what time the son amended, what time he became better, they said, well, it was at the seventh hour that the fever left him. And the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth." The same identical hour. How long does it take a person to become converted, to be saved, to have everlasting life? Well, I'll tell you, dear friend, the moment that you receive the word of God, such as it is, by faith, accepting it as the word to your very own soul, that moment you will pass from death unto life. I would like to prove that to you from the 5th chapter of John, verse 24. And you have your Bible, I would ask you to get it. You know, when you look at the Scriptures and hear it at the same time, I think it helps us to get it into our hearts, and that's where we must get it if we're to be blessed. Because it's at the heart we must believe unto righteousness. That is, not just simply having mental assent to what God says. It's not just simply believing about the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to save us. We must make it a personal matter. We must receive it for our very own personal need. It must be in our heart belief in him. In verse 24, now notice, Verily, verily, I say unto you. Read it, dear friend, just as if Jesus were speaking to you now, audibly. He's speaking through his word. He begins this verse with a double affirmative. And I say unto you, the Lord of glory, God Almighty himself, the one who is manifest in the flesh, he that heareth my word. You hear the word of God. You hear it as it comes from him through the written page. It has been penned for you. All right, that's the first thing you hear. Secondly, and believeth on him that sent me. Or simply believing him that sent me. It amounts to this, believing God and asking no questions. Do you do that? Can you say, yes, I do believe. I really believe this is the word of God. I believe that Christ died for me, the sinner. Yes, I believe that. All right, you believe in God. You believe in what he says. Therefore, you're believing him that sent Jesus into the world. Ah, that's what faith is. All right, then you have faith. And this has come to you through hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Now notice then what the next statement is. Jesus said, those that hear my word and believe him that sent me hath everlasting life. Oh, this is what Jesus says. What a wonderful word it is. You talk about blessed assurance, and you notice Jesus says hath everlasting life. There is no doubt about it. It doesn't say shall have or hope to have or maybe you'll have. There's a statement given here which is absolute. It's so good that one wonders whether it's true. But it is true because it comes from the lips of one who cannot lie. Based on this scripture, dear listener, I can say with all my heart, I have everlasting life. Can you say it? God wants you to. You may if you believe God. Simple faith will cause you to say it. This blessed assurance is yours, hath everlasting life. You receive the word of God into your heart. In receiving the word of God, you receive Christ. That's believing on him. That's believing on his name. And furthermore, it tells us, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment. There's no judgment for you ahead. No, why? The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has already been judged in the person of his substitute at Calvary, and therefore shall never come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. This, dear listener, is what faith does. It gives you everlasting life, and you shall never perish. O God, grant today that you will this very moment trust Christ, and this very moment you will be saved. You will receive everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but will be passed from death unto life. This is just as sure as God himself is God. These are the words of God. Believing him gives you faith, which yields everlasting life. God grant that you will trust him today. Will you not say to him from your heart, I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus. He'll hear it, and he'll receive you and bless you forever.